The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you'd like to listen to bonus episodes, go sign up to the Patreon. That's patreon.com. We f***ed that. Anyway, you'll find a way. Catamaran home! Sorry, I'm pooped and we haven't done either of the things yet that I said we could do today. We're going to do a podcast. And it's happening now!
It's happening now.
And this couch has to go around the block and into the new house.
This one. The one, the cushionless couch.
Yeah, this is, I've managed to, this is okay. If I have to do this. CJ Landry, everybody, here on the James Donald Force McCann Catamaran Plan. CJ has a new podcast that is out. I'll just release this one.
Right. It's called Killing Time.
Killing Time.
And, you know, we did a bowling one, me and James. I don't know how I'm going to keep the idea alive. I want to do different activities.
We're recording this before it's launched, and
I got in my head because one of my buddies, I described to him the podcast, and he goes, oh, it's cute. And ever since I've hated the idea, I've hated it now.
That'll hurt. You don't think when I come up with novelty... Journey to a Boat podcast, people were, there was a lot of pushback.
Okay, good, yeah.
And it's not been successful. So who am I to say? Sometimes people are right.
Still don't have a boat, but no, you're working on it. You're close. I'd say you're
so good. I think you can repeat activities as well.
I'd say every kid you have, you definitely get set back behind the boat. You're not getting... every kid you get definitely sets you back before getting a boat.
Well, you got here and I said, get in the car. And then you said, what? Oh, the kids are in the car. And I had, they'd been, we're moving at the moment. That's why we're in a garage on a couch. And I took the kids this morning. Then my wife needed some respite. So I just didn't expect
to see three kids all in each individual car seat in a minivan in a closed minivan in the garage.
One door was open. Hold on.
I'm not making it sound like child abuse. I just meant like it was like, all right, let's move this couch. And then he's like, well, first of all, we got to go to the grocery store. And then I was like, all right, that's fine. And then he's like, yeah, we got to go like right now. And then also the kids are in the car right now.
It was time. I knew it was time.
It ended up being so
I'm so
great.
Glad you got here on time because I was loading him in the car. And I was like, CJ's going to show up. And she's like, while you're out at the store? I was like, no, he's going to come. I think he's going to be here very soon.
It ended up me being... I mean, I had the really... I don't know how you do it. We're walking around the grocery store...
You were sequestered. Is that the
with
word?
Three kids. I don't know words.
I drafted you into the army.
But I was... I mean, I was so unprepared. It was like just storming the beach at Normandy. Bullets were flying. Kids were missing.
The James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan board game funding shirt is out now.
Board game funding? What does that mean?
Yeah, so money from the shirt is going to pay the guy who's designing the board game. His name's Nick.
Okay, so you're selling the shirts to get the board game, to get the boat.
Yeah.
Got it.
Selling the shirt to get the money, to get a man to design a board game. And then we're going to split the board game 50-50, but I'm giving him an advance because he's doing the work on it. I'm yet to play the board game. I hope it's a good board game. I'm told my opportunity to play is coming this week.
That's incredible.
We'll find out.
I can't wait. And
I'm also not in the... It's not a James McCann-themed board game.
Okay.
It's going to be about boats, but we want to break the whole board game market.
I mean, you gotta make a boat game to get the boat. I love the plan.
It's a board.
I'm telling you.
What are ships made of? Planks.
I'm gonna be honest. I'm from Louisiana, and I've never heard someone have such a long-winded strategy to get a boat. And
well,
you would think Louisiana that would not be the case. People People definitely have some roundabout ways to get a boat.
People there for sure. You'd have guys, boaties we call them in Australia, guys living on the boat, on the river?
No, yeah, for sure. They had, well, they have
the
like...
first to die when...
They had, the well, they had, come. You know, there's a big thing out there is shrimp boats. I mean, you can make good money doing shrimp boats. But they would have guys, they would live like on the, like, you know, they have like the little, the deck inside and they would, they would live in the deck and they live on the dock and then they would just shrimp all day.
Well, now, is your town on the river? It's downriver. It's like further past
New
Orleans?
It's near the, it's about 20 minutes outside the Gulf.
Okay. How many people?
Gulf of America, apparently.
Dad, thank you. How many people live in this town? How big is this town?
It's about 8,000 people.
So no comedy scene at all?
No, I had to drive to... I drove to New Orleans the first few times I did it.
Also no comedies. Very
about
small
an hour away.
Scene.
Yeah, I drove an hour to a city with no
you
comedy
You would think
scene.
That New Orleans would have a comedy scene.
But everybody was like, oh, that's how, you know, that's the closest, that was the closest city. Actually, Baton Rouge had some, like, bar
I'm
shows.
I told this. Baton Rouge has a better comedy scene than New Orleans, and it feels insane.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
That's wrong.
There's bar shows. It's nothing crazy, but...
I would like to start a club in New Orleans.
Lafayette has a pretty good comedy scene. They got a couple rooms in the hotel. It makes
sweet
no sense.
Sweet Lafayette.
It makes no sense.
I loved the entire state of Louisiana.
Did you?
Well, what we saw.
What'd
I didn't
you
get
see?
To St. Petersburg.
Okay.
St. Fredericksburg?
Hold you on. Mean St. Francisville.
St. Francisville. I just watched a Hallmark movie about St. Francisville. My wife and I were watching Hallmark movies because apparently that's more like... They pay her like $100,000 if you write a Hallmark movie. She's like, I could write a Hallmark movie. I'm like, please.
And she did.
Oh, no. We just watched one.
Okay, yeah.
We watched one about St. Francisville. It's about a guy who's like the whole town. They're like, I've never left St. Francisville and I never will. And they're like, this is a good thing because it's a good, earthy hometown. And I looked it up on the map. It's like, you're 45 minutes from like Lafayette. Why wouldn't you go to Lafayette? Why wouldn't you go to Baton Rouge? New Orleans is an hour and a half away, and you never go there if you live in St. Francisville? That's insane. It's a ridiculous premise for a film. If it was in, like, Des Moines, Iowa, uh-huh. I'd go like, all right, no one's made the four-hour drive? Maybe. Nowhere in Louisiana is very far away from something else in Louisiana. There's no reason not to get on the road.
That's true. I
do people do that?
Lafayette is further away from my hometown than New Orleans, though. New Orleans is just an hour flat.
An hour?
And then, St. Francisville was like... I mean, Lafayette is like 4 hours, 3 hours away.
All right, so it's slightly further. But still, is it Lafayette is the one that's close to St. Francisville? I'm never going to St. Francisville.
I believe so, yeah. It's far away from my hometown, too. I remember the only thing I remember about St. Francisville was my parents went there one time to try to, I guess, like have some sort of getaway, reconstruct their marriage.
How did it
type
go?
Thing.
Did it work?
It worked for a short period of time, like most of those things do, where it didn't work out in the end. I mean, obviously, they're divorced now, but...
like, obviously, they're divorced
They went
now.
To St. Francis.
Everyone's parents are divorced now.
They went to St. Francisville for some reason, but I think they had a horror movie in St. Francisville. I'm pretty sure maybe it was a different city, but there was this one horror movie that was based in Louisiana, and there was... I forgot what it was called... I don't remember. It was like Skeleton Key, I think, maybe.
Oh, Skeleton Key? They made that in St. Francisville?
Where you couldn't look at the mirrors.
I don't know.
That was maybe the movie.
I never saw Skeleton Key.
It was Louisiana, Key. And they're like, oh, old house in Louisiana, the old white house. That's where it based in. It was like, can't look in the mirrors. And at the time, I grew up in like a house that was built in the late 1800s.
So sick.
In Louisiana, and really old mirrors, dude.
Was it shotgun style? Some of them, I've seen these for the first time.
It was like a tall, shotgun style, basically. Like, it really wasn't.
You
got
to walk
style.
Through bedrooms in some of these houses to get to other bedrooms.
Exactly. Yeah, my mom lives in a shotgun home in New Orleans right now. But
so she got out. She got out of your hometown.
She got out of my hometown. She lives in New Orleans. Well, she lives in my grandma now, but and then my dad stays in Houma, but. Yeah, no, like, bro, it was like fourth grade or something, and I was just ducking every single mirror, dude. Couldn't look in a mirror after that.
You got to be careful what you show children, because they get spooked.
Well, it was just like, it couldn't hit more home. I mean, it was like, oh, this is exactly where old home. A lot of mirrors. Don't look in them. Voodoo, wow. Louisiana. And I'm
that's
like,
how I feel about Mad Max when I'm out on those Australian roads.
Yeah.
This is where that goes down. It's very spooky. Although they had to film, I think the latest Mad Max, they were going to film it in Australia again, but they shot it in
They South shoot Africa. It in Australia? I didn't even know that.
That is just what Australia looks like. Once you get out of the cities, it's Mad Max for
80%
of the country. I don't want to overstate it. Australians watching going like, no, some of it's rainforest. Some of it is marshland. Some of it is inland sea.
Yeah, that doesn't make
unbelievably
any...
Mad Max-y.
Some of it... So you're telling me that there are... Because, again, I don't know. We talked about this on my pod.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Australia. I know, like, five things. Wiggles, kangaroos, koalas.
It's the big three.
Desert.
A big four.
Beach.
Desert beach. It's just sand.
That's all I know. Crocodile Dundee.
We have beautiful green areas.
Crocodile Hunter and... Yeah, shrimp on the Barbie, which you told me was a lie.
That is a lie.
So, I mean, that really like...
I don't want to be dinging. Is that you dinging?
No, that's you.
No, it's you. My phone's over there.
Is it?
I think you're dinging.
No, I'm not.
No, I take it back. My laptop's dinging. I got it set up. You know, like, the laptop gets messages as well.
So many things ding nowadays. So,
too many dings. Ah, yeah, the laptop dings as well. And it's funny, when you block someone on the phone because they're being hateful and weird... Still comes through on the laptop. And I haven't figured out how to block that. And it's only like one guy. But and I changed my number, so he doesn't know what my number is now. This guy's...
You have enemies here. In America already.
No, I was an Australian enemy. I was a Swedish Australian enemy.
Yeah.
And he would...
That makes sense.
I'll say this about him. I don't call him an enemy. I call him there's a pause put on the friendship. But he loves to like have a couple of drinkies. And
he's an antagonist.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah, everybody in this group of friends gets... just a cat, like long, esoteric. Are you hot?
No, I forgot where I left my Fosters.
Oh, yeah. Get the Fosters, which we don't drink.
Another thing I didn't even know about Australia. I forgot this was an Australian thing. I thought it was a UK, Ireland beer.
Well, that's where they sell it. UK, Ireland. If you go to Scotland, you'll be able to buy a Fosters at the... Edinburgh Fringe.
I tell you what, I love the beer. Hate the can.
Can's too big for you.
It's just it's an unreasonably big.
You can't have a big can.
It's an unreasonably can
or
a
small can. CJ wants a small can. You believe that?
It's like I'm drinking out of like a can of green beans.
Again, I guarantee we don't do that. We never.
It's like a giant can of green beans.
The biggest one we have
is
the same one. It's like the Asahi. Is that what it's called?
No, it's...
The Sapporo.
It's...
A big Japanese beer.
Asahi.
We love them. Oh, I love getting a big Japanese can of beer.
Speaking of Japanese, I'm playing a game. Brian Simpson gave me a free PS5.
Yeah.
That guy doesn't stop giving.
Congratulations.
I don't know what's going on with him. He's just such a giver. I don't know if he's... Got some terrible
health news or
something. Is he the
first guest? First guest on this podcast?
It's the second guest on my podcast.
Nice. Who's the first guest?
You.
I get to be in the premiere episode?
You're in the premiere, man.
Bang. Bang. Out now. Bowling. Killing time with CJ Landry. This is no good way to sit on this couch.
Never stop promoting. Never stop promoting.
Well.
But I got this game on it for free. He bought it. And it just came with a PS5. It's called Ghost of Tsushima, and you can choose whether or not you play the game originally how it was made, which is in Japanese with subtitles, English subtitles.
Oh, you get the dub?
No dub. Just English, Japanese language, English subtitles. And I played it, and I thought maybe it's like, oh, maybe I'll learn a word or something. Not a chance in fuck.
No, I bet you got the accent, though.
I mean, I can't.
I bet you get the accent on it.
Pretty good. It's a lot of...
Some of the voices they do in
it's
those.
It's so mumbly, though. That's the problem. You're not going to be able to learn any... I thought maybe if, you know, because that's how you learn a language. That's a good way to learn a language. As you listen to
Japanese
the language...
is bad for immersion.
And, dude, it is really hard,
a lot
hard,
of it's context. Like, sometimes you'll be watching, like, an anime or a film, and they'll just make a noise, and they'll give, like, all right, then.
Like, they'll go like, hum, and it'll be like, okay, thank you. It's like, oh, I guess that's in Japanese. That's all right then.
Oh,
it's just, hum.
And I guess there's probably multiple words for different, you know, just like in English. But so I can't follow it. I tried so hard to be like, oh, okay, that's war. War is gone. But it's like, I can't.
That's what it is.
Like,
it's gone.
Gone. And it's like, ding dong, man, that things don't do you with it. It's very like, I can't, I just like, the, I don't, I can't discern together. Where yeah. one word starts and the other one, you know what
no,
I mean?
I struggle. I can't. That's all they, I mean, German's hard for that.
It's fucking hard.
The Finns. The French are the worst because it's just blah, 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 blah. It doesn't sound real.
And they're an
it
emotionalist.
The
I don't know, you know, I don't know much about Japanese.
Oh, have you seen
now,
much Korean? Have you heard much Korean?
I mean, I've seen, you know.
Just like so emotional.
Squid Game.
So, I didn't see Squid Game. I think they're kind of demure. I watched the first episode.
They are very emotional.
Like, I can't do it.
But Japanese, they don't. They're, why you don't like the Squid Game?
It seems
too much
sad.
Murder.
It's like I spend all day with my family and these kids struggling to make it happen in America. And then what? We come home and we watch a bunch of Koreans being nasty to each other. And it's like capitalism is so bad.
That makes
it's
sense.
Like capitalism's all I got right now to hang my hat on. No, we do have to break down capitalism. Takes us to the first segment of the show. Is
killing capitalism?
Nah, they're already guys doing that.
Who is?
Oh, that guy, the Luigi. Kill that guy. That
that's
CEO.
True, man. That's a good point.
That's such a pussy move to kill a CEO. You
now,
kill
do you
the whole
think
board.
He was... Yeah, I feel like he was... I feel like he had a team. I don't think he
I'll
went
say,
about...
I'll say this. They've stopped reporting on it.
Yeah.
Like, there are developments in it, and after it became very clear that the public was on his side, it did just disappear from the news cycle. I never see a story about it anymore. They're memory-holing the CEO killing.
And that's a good point. It was kind of wild. I mean, there were so many memes. And, yeah, there was no, like, emotional, like, oh, man, poor CEO, huh? Poor guy.
Not in the
family.
Main media. Sorry, in the mainstream media tried to push that a little bit.
Right.
Got no purchase.
No.
I remember Matt Walsh did a video about, like, this is murder, and all of his comment section was like, up yours, it's good to kill a CEO. I think it's bad to kill people, but...
But here's what I'm saying. So there's money to be just from, you know, this is just knowledge from me playing Grand Theft Auto.
Okay. The star rating will go down if you hide for long enough.
There's like a money incentive to be made when you kill a CEO because the stock crashes or...
Oh, you think you could short the company and kill people who work them?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that maybe that there was a team behind this Luigi guy that goes, hey, you hate CEOs. We like making money. Now let's come together on that.
Maybe like Meta was just like whispering at him on the phone. Just like Meta could radicalize us. The Instagram.
You think Meta AI could radicalize?
Yeah, I think they...
Oh, you're saying the ads, the ad marketing?
No, I mean, even the feed, even the algorithm on the feed. I think about this a lot. All right, because there's no good way to sit on this couch. Cannot wait until we get the cushions back on this couch. The kids are on the cushions inside on a couch made from nothing. You do have the same shoes as my boy. All right, it's like we talk about them like algorithmically figuring out what you want in terms of news or like... Your bubble, like everyone's in a bubble, an algorithmic bubble. I think they go a level further that we haven't cracked yet, which is like if they want you to be happy, they give you the content to make you happy. If they want you to be unhappy, they give you unhappy content. If they want you horny, if they want you celibate. This is, they could do it. You could. My mood is so dictated by.
God, they want me horny so bad.
It's tough.
And I pump the brakes hard. I hold the video and go, not interested. Not
I do that.
Interested.
I do that
you
right
do
there.
That?
Right there, brother.
I
many
do
times.
I'm trying to stay as Christian as I possibly can.
I went through and I told Instagram to stop showing me hot dancing women. And it started showing me Muslim, like, extremist content.
Oh, well.
Like, it figured out, it's like, oh, he likes the ladies.
Here's what's wild.
But he's feeling complicated.
Here's
about
what's
it.
Wild to me. I will say, not interested, all these twerking bitches and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then out of nowhere, it goes, oh, well, you'll definitely like breastfeeding stuff.
Oh yeah, like, no, you got to pump. You got to pump through that and say no to that.
What in the hell is this?
Well, they don't tell you. They don't have a good response on why you're not interested. So it's like, maybe this isn't hot enough. Maybe,
that's a good point.
Yeah, the fake baby breastfeeding is
a problem.
Oh, it's very bad.
Shut it down.
Everybody wants that shut down, except the woman doing it.
No one wants that, except for creeps.
Nobody wants that. Nobody is looking for that.
No, and then the whole excuse of like, well, it's educational.
It's not.
No, it's not. We know how it works.
Women.
We've been doing this since we were in the caves.
There's stuff to learn about breastfeeding. None of it is where to put the child.
Right.
0% of things that women are confused about when they start breastfeeding are... Is it on the nipple?
And it's definitely not. And it's definitely not showcased in the video.
Oh no! Well, there's a child's head in the.
And the women that do it are creepy. The women that do it are creepy.
I mean, imagine getting to the point where that's the market that you're. All right, this is weird. I get music for this podcast. This is just in terms of like women doing creepy sex stuff where it doesn't belong to try and get a sexual following.
Okay.
So. If you go on Wikipedia, there's like free music people upload to Wikipedia. So I tend to take that because it's like copyright free and I don't get flagged. So like the US military band will just upload them playing songs if they record someone's national anthem. If you're on Wikipedia and you're like, click a national anthem, that's the song you get. What I'm getting to is there's this woman who plays like classical music on the piano, this Asian woman, and she's not uploading audio files. She's like a full video of her playing in like very sexy negligee. Playing Bach quite well and just going, well, this is Creative Commons. But it's softcore pornography. It just happens to be. It's such a weird way to like, I'll get them like this. This is how I'll get them to see my body and to come along to the OnlyFans is a guy looking for, you know, an etude. And then he's got my bazoombas. And she's a talented pianist.
It's so niche.
It took me by surprise when I saw it.
I mean, yeah, they'll do anything they can. They showcase any talent. But that's like a 12, that's like a, I don't know, for me, that's almost like a 12-year-old, 11-year-old thought that I had where I'm like, whenever you first find out that naked women are online,
yeah,
then you get like, that kind of dies for you, and then you're like, well, surely there's got to be a naked woman playing the piano.
Is that where you went next?
That's where it's like, I got...
Is that next? Oh, I didn't know there was a real market for it.
Maybe a naked woman doing yoga. Oh, there's got to be that.
I saw a guy. I saw a guy. Yeah, they're out there. I was at the creek, and I saw a guy on his iPad just like sitting off the back of the room, and I thought he was looking up. It looked like he was looking up pornography. There was like pornography on his iPad at a comedy club up the back of the room. I was like, oh my goodness, stop that.
Despicable.
And then the screen changed a little bit. And it was, I realized that he had been like watching illegal manga, anime translations.
Illegal.
Like someone scanning it from Japan so that he can get the manga faster. Like people do their own translations, right? And so he's reading a manga, like a Japanese cartoon that just because it's on that kind of website, it's got porno advertisements on it because it's like an illegal, cheap website. It's like, oh, he's not trying to watch pornography. He's trying to read a Japanese cartoon. That might be more, like, what is more embarrassing in public? To be checking out the new Naruto or to be watching softcore action? I was upset.
That's a good point.
Now, we've got the door open in this garage and my beautiful neighbors can't hear us.
Comic books are embarrassing to read in public.
I become concerned about that now, that the neighbors can hear and we're saying filthy things. And these are my new neighbors and they don't know who I am.
Yeah, they're like, God, this degenerate guy with children.
He's a real, yeah.
He keeps yelling about porn in his garage.
In the privacy of my own home, I don't want to close the garage door because it's hot. It's weird. So we're in a better neighborhood. That was the main reason we moved. It's like,
it's a nice neighborhood, man. I'll tell you. I mean, definitely not a scream about porn in your garage neighborhood.
Yeah, that's more of an old neighborhood thing. So the old neighborhood was vibrant and like exciting and people wanted to live there. And this is like a normal laid back suburban. So the cost, even though this is like a way bigger house, the cost is not that different to the last house. It's comparable. And we're going to be happier here, I think. But like, we're with middle class people now. We're not with bohemian
hipstery.
We're not with like,
okay,
like there was like a strong Hispanic element there and a lot of homeless people and a lot of crackheads and a lot of like hipsters. Yeah, that was the combination. But the result was like, if the kids were going crazy, people would look at me like reassuringly in the supermarket, and they'd be like, "Oh man, I know what that's like." Or like here, when the kids are behaving badly, it's like cold, icy. What are you doing?
I felt that at HEB.
Yeah, I never felt that in the old neighborhood, and it's a weird thing to become more.
People were really disliking you at the HEB.
I was doing my best.
I saw a lot of nasty looks.
Especially
whenever the little one was running around. And
yeah, they don't like it.
Not even by you. They were like, what is he doing?
This is a high contraception use neighborhood. This is people having the children they can afford. And also, they've got nannies and they come and help. This is real. I didn't know what American suburbia looked like, really. Here, this is it. I'm getting it. I pushed my kids on the swing, and we go to the playground. We have like a I wouldn't say I was rough with them, but I like, we have a fun, like, I try and get involved, you know, like get across the monkey bars. You got to really encourage the monkey bars. And I pushed my son yesterday on the swing here, and he came off. He let go while I was pushing him, and he did a flip and he hit the ground. And
oh boy,
that's why he's got funny stuff on his face, scabs, little cuts. He's all right. He cried for a bit and then he was all right. But the other parents there were
horrified.
Like, what have you done? How have you pushed your... These Tesla-driving, bougie-ass parents are like blaming me.
Is there anything worse?
I was upset. This is going to be difficult for me to navigate that.
Tesla, fine. You want to buy a Tesla,
you're all right.
Fine.
Enjoy.
But if you want to get a Cybertruck...
Very cool.
I just don't understand what the move is.
I saw a guy.
I don't understand what the move is.
I saw a guy in town who's like a solar panel company.
It looks like a dumpster.
Yeah, it's nice. It's different. It's creative. It's illegal in Australia.
Illegal to have. Yeah,
they've recalled them from the streets because they say it's unsafe because it's a sharp edge when it crashes into people. So it's like,
That's a great reason. I didn't even think of that.
Nah, it's evil. Let people have the cars they want. You know when you
see
one of those,
defending Cybertruck right now?
You grew up here. I just like that it's different. I would never want to own one.
Okay.
But I like that someone's going, what if we do a different style? Like, every car looks the same, and he's going different. What I really like and what I would like to get. Nah, I wouldn't get it. I just like it. I like the attitude. You know those where the rims come out like a foot? Big spiked rims that come out.
It's a gang thing here.
Is that a gang thing?
It's a gang thing here in town.
It seems bizarre.
Yeah.
It must make it way harder to drive. The amount of space you have in that lane has come down.
Significant.
20% you've just lost.
I know what you're talking about. I don't think the people at home understand what we're talking about.
There are spikes that come off the hubcap.
It's like
a foot.
It's like you have metal. It's like, you know, like
60 centimeters.
It's cone-shaped, too. Yeah. It's like a cone rod sticking straight out.
I couldn't believe
perpendicular
it was legal.
out of your wheel.
There's no reason for it to be there.
Why is it doing that? It's almost... You know, actually, in Greece, the movie...
Yeah, that's
what
I was thinking.
They have it at the end.
It's very much
like
Greece. Yeah.
Where he rams his tires
into
the
car. But they,
like,
flick out. Do they flick out, or is it just built like that in Greece? Maybe
that
could...
No, it's built like that. It's like a little sharp, I think, you know...
It's like considered poor form. The bad guys do it in Greece.
Yes. And that's it's like a gang thing here. I saw it's like a, you know, there's a bunch of them, a group of them driving in a line. Yeah, with them all
dickhead
sticking
behavior.
Out.
Very tinted windows on this car.
Very tinted windows.
Looks illegally tinted.
That's right.
But that's also freedom, and I respect that.
You like it.
Where
do you draw the line at freedom? Where is that line drawn?
Something bad happening to me. And then other people's freedoms. But if something bad's happened to someone else, that's just good old-fashioned freedom, baby. It's hard. I know. I don't have a good...
That's tough, man.
So, like, speeding in America is super normal. I talk about this in the act and the new... It's just so... I'm going to hunch. My back.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's not good. I thankfully have this blanket I'm sitting on.
Oh, yeah. I'll get that blanket.
It's getting me through it.
All right. Share an anecdote.
You know, here's the thing with the Cybertruck, and this is what I've said before, and I'll shamelessly say it again. I don't understand the move as a straight guy who buys a Cybertruck, because here's the thing. Only have I heard every time a woman talks about a Cybertruck, they talk about how hideous it is.
You don't hear a lot of women talking about how it gets them going.
No, I have never heard a woman say it. And
but
so
do women say
like,
that about other trucks? So like an F-150?
Of course.
All right.
Are you kidding me?
not my woman.
Oh, well, I'm from Louisiana. Every time I, yeah, there's girls that's like, oh my God, he drives a sexy truck, right? That's not a sexy truck. It's a nerdmobile.
It's an Asperger's.
It's an Asperger's dumpster fire. And so every woman goes, that truck is so ugly. Every time. I've always only heard that. So to me, it's like, damn, bro, you really spent $90,000 to get less pussy. That's crazy. That's a weird move.
Yeah,
you could have bought anything
else.
You
get big nerd points.
You could have bought
the nerds,
anything else.
The nerds love you for it.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like when guys work out too much and they get too jacked.
Yeah.
And now it's like, damn, you're only doing it for the bros.
It's for the boys.
That's what it is.
But there's a lot of, I think almost every male activity is for the boys.
That's not true.
All right. Now, I'm not saying girls don't like it, but I think we're really doing it for the boys. Example, Pokemon Blue speedruns. That's for the boys.
Pokemon Blue? What's that mean?
If someone's playing Pokemon Blue speedruns on the internet. I got locked into a YouTube wormhole.
I don't know
of like
what that is.
The time, the like how fast you can beat Pokemon Blue.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways
just
to not
doing
get,
that over and over
there's
again.
A lot of ways to not get pussy. That's for sure.
No one's doing
that's
stand-up
for
comedy
sure.
to get girls.
Get the fuck. Out of here.
No.
Are you kidding me?
I don't think
it Matt Rife made a whole career off it. What are you talking about?
I think he's reaping the spoils, but I think my guess is he really wants to be a great comedian.
Oh, dude, but what you're well okay, but here's the thing. there's a side effect to stand up and it is getting women. That's
yeah,
true.
I agree.
There
with
is
that.
No side effect of Pokemon Go to get girls. There's just not. Maybe if you find another girl that's into Pokemon Go, it's possible. But I'm just saying, like, it's very small.
Now that's a couple that I'm glad is out there walking with Pokemon
but
Go.
But, like, every other guy, like, golf, you could definitely, there's, like, tons of chicks that golf. You can do
yeah,
all kinds.
Yeah, but, CJ, let me tell you, those ladies are not interested in the fellas
that's
out there
true.
On the field, on the course.
That's a good point, but
those
I'm just saying.
Korean lesbians
that's a good point.
Have no interest. No, I think we often see other people do it. We see men sing. We see men succeed in their industry. And it is nice that women are interested in that. But I think really what women like is men who men like. Women are looking to see. And the Pokemon speed through is not something that men overall believe in. But I think that the alpha male that the ladies are all about, I think women pursue the guy who the boys have identified as the leader. This I believe. This I do believe. That's why politicians, despite being very ugly, ladies, they always get the beautiful ladies.
Well, it's a weird because it's very very so much about money too. But it's definitely money. But so Cybertruck, sure, yeah. If you got money, so then women are like, oh wow, he must have money because he's got a Cybertruck, right? But what I'm saying is that it is a very very ugly vehicle.
To date that
you could have gotten. Anything else.
Yeah.
And then on site, women would have been like, damn, he's got money and a sexy ass
car.
I
tell
That's you, crazy.
This
you got an ugly one.
The Toyota Sienna is a that attracts a very depraved kind of woman. Because it screams. That is okay. You know there are some
I
cars,
love it though.
There are some cars that people will still mess with you if you're driving. They'll disrespect you. I felt in certain cars I felt disrespected. If you're in like a little Volkswagen or something, people might muscle you around. That car people give me a wide berth in a minivan. they're scared
berth.
Because you don't know you suspect that the whoever's driving that minivan
yeah
they've had a bad day.
Okay, and then we didn't even
they're ready to go.
They're ready to
that's
go.
A fighting car. The minivan, the people mover, the Sienna, the Tarago.
They're like, this guy doesn't know how to pull out. That's hot.
Yeah. He's not going to pull out of a fight. He's not going to pull out of a fight. Or it's a lady. It's a mother with children in there. And we want to be careful for them. Either way, no one you want to mess with is driving that vehicle. You want to treat that vehicle with respect.
That's a good point.
I'm a big believer.
I will say the funny thing, too, about the Cybertruck, it's tied to politics now. So then it's such
yeah,
a divisive
it is a, it's
vehicle.
A weird right-wing
it's
car.
An ugly vehicle. It's like, God damn, bro, you just made such a crazy choice.
You know the car that's really about politics is the Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
That really identifies what side of the revolution you're on. There's no one. This is my second year not doing the festivals in Australia. And I'm feeling a little sad about it. The Perth Fringe what they call it, Fringe World, but it's in Perth, the Adelaide Fringe Festival, the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, the Brisbane one, and the Sydney
How
one.
How significant does your act change whenever you, like, your current act now?
Yeah.
Let's say your current hour. Let's not even say what you got now.
All right.
I'm saying your previous taping.
Yep.
How much different does that set get in Australia?
Some of the context is different. And some things don't, like joking about how fast people drive in America, in Australia, it's nothing. Fine. They listen to it and they enjoy it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
It's not going to hit.
It's funny. Things that are funny to Americans about themselves are not the same things that are funny to Australians about Americans and vice versa. So like they're.
It's the same with the South and the North here.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Like a northerner doing jokes about the South,
uh-huh.
It's going to be very different to a southerner doing jokes about the South. Like a northerner might go, you've got cousin, loving,
right,
whatever. And in the South, they'd be like, one day the... Excuse me, I joke, I jest, I kid. That's a northerner bit. That's what the north, but in the South, they'd be like, I don't know, it'd be something about the Hogs playing football, right. Or like when mama fix a meal.
Well, I did that whenever I went to New York. I was like, oh, I have to like... joke about the South in a weird jokingly like they're down there, right?
Yeah.
Whereas like here I have to make it like likable in a sense that I'm not making fun of them here. I'm like, just talking about what we do and how it's ironic.
It's very
funny.
It's inside comedy versus outside comedy.
So weird.
So but this is the weird thing about going being in the new place and joking about the place that they're in. This is what I had to do in America is like do jokes about America to Americans. The things I notice have to be like the Venn diagram. It has to be things I would really notice and also things that they find funny about themselves, which is hard because like they're not alienated the way I am. So like I had a bit that would never fly that works great in Australia about how Americans can like politely ask strangers for things like, can you I'm sorry, can you please turn that off? Or like, could you take him over there? You know, like, whatever, like, Americans just don't have a problem going, would you please fetch that for me? Like, They have a request and they say it to people. Just that in Australia, describing that gets a big laugh because it's like, we can't do it. We are so embarrassed to ask a stranger to modify their behavior. It's, you know, my friend came back from America. He was here for 3 weeks and he got back and he said the first thing he recognized was that he was at the airport. And someone came up to him and said, can you please do me a massive favor, mate? Could you move that bag slightly to the left? Like, it's so hard to ask a stranger to do something for you.
Really?
And here it's just like, excuse me, sir, can you move that bag over there? All right. It's like everybody's flowing. Everybody knows what they want, and they're happy to say if they're going to do it. There's very few limitations. So, like, that's in Australia, that observation about Americans gets a big pop, and that is something that I notice. And in America, it gets nothing because everyone's just like, well, why wouldn't you do that?
Damn, I didn't even think about that.
I can't even flip it and go, like, in Australia, you never ask people things because they've not been to Australia. So they just go, why would they do that? That seems silly.
Right.
It's so hard. You have to find things like they're uncomfortable about you and know, you're uncomfortable about.
You're making
about.
Me question things about myself because now I'm like, I don't think I ask people to like... My girlfriend's calling me. I don't think I ask people to move like or change their behavior or modify anything unless it really bothers me. And then I think if I get really frustrated, it's really pissing me off, I do get kind of confrontational and I'll like tell them.
Yeah. We get, but even then when you're confrontational, are you angry or are you keeping a lid on it?
I'm trying to keep a lid on it, but it's tough.
There you go.
It's slipping. That's a difference. Off.
Aussies, when people open up, when people finally say how they're feeling, it's very ugly. You've had a dog. Get her off the bus.
Yeah.
That was one.
Dude, they had a bunch of Australians come into the club recently.
Yeah.
Mothership. And they were very annoyed by the heckling rules.
They wanted to chat.
Because they were like, in Australia, it's not this crazy. Like, they were turning to their buddies and they're like, yeah, like back home, like this, it isn't like, you know, they don't care. You can talk or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah. No, I find this weird when, when I'm doing comedy at the ship and the security will come, like I'll be chatting to a lady and the security, like we're just doing some, It's crowd work that starts as heckling. Like, that's the thing you have to do in Australia. When someone's heckling, you can just shut them down. But you can also, like, talk to them and work through it, and then they've, like, had their say, and then you move on. But it's happened a couple times where someone will, like, heckle or, like, say, just, like, not even really heckle, like, you suck or whatever. They'll just be like, whoa, what about, like, they'll contribute. And right. I respond to that and I work with it. And I'll see security come over and be to them like, you got to stop that now. And then I feel bad about it because I sort of encouraged the person to do it. But you're not meant to do that at that room. The British are brutal for it. Man, the Scots.
They love it.
Every set, they'll be heckling at the start. And then you'll face one. And if you do a good job dealing with the heckler, they're like, oh, he's funny. He knows how to do comedy. That's all right. We'll listen now. But like, that's a test that you will frequently get. In the United Kingdom.
And what do they want? Do they want wittiness? What they want?
What do the British want? They want their...
They want wit.
They want their empire back.
They want wit. No, but I'm saying for stand-up, yeah. They want wit.
I think about this a lot.
That's so crazy that they want... That's so funny that they go like...
At that interaction?
Is he funny? Can he handle like in-person whatever?
Can he handy me going, oh, fat!
Yeah, exactly. And then
some people can't.
I don't know. I was going to hate on British comedy for a second there, but then I regretted it.
No, I was thinking about
something. Before I even did it.
They want wit in that encounter, but overall, I'm
not a big Jimmy Carr fan.
All right.
Sorry. I said it.
Jimmy Carr, we'd love to have you on the podcast to rebut this scandalous feeling.
Sorry, I'm not a fan.
Well, he's doing jokes. He's doing jokey jokes. He's doing like, it's not what you're about. It's fascinating. Because he'd be the closest to an American comedian. No, well, like his success.
Fascinating.
I find it fascinating. Okay. I find everybody who's become a success, I find interesting because it's so hard.
It's so hard.
And no one wants you to be a success. There are no stand-up comedy industry plants. Everyone managed to figure out something that they could do. Who last and are successful, I would say. You get found out by the audience real quickly.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, Jimmy Carr was doing... I mean, how did he break through in America? How do Americans know about him?
Game shows. He did right. like some kind of, he like hosted something, I think, or he was on TV somehow. But no, I mean, like, he like hosted like award shows and things. That's the thing. It's like he got famous enough in Britain or he can get on TV in the U.S. and be fine. But yeah,
he gets you. I love this.
There's a backstory.
Oh, do you and Carr have some beef?
There's beef. You want me to tell you?
Yeah, but maybe do it off mic. We'll cut this out.
I won't
talk. All right, tell me. Do you want this out? That you publicly want to air your Jimmy Carr beef? That's so above your station to be beefing with Jimmy Carr. I love that. You're talking about getting to start going on the road, and you've got with the top British comedian in the world a feud going.
I mean, watch his. Some of his joke. I mean, just that there's no...
Have you met?
I took his comedy class, actually.
Here we go.
Is a scam. Oh, my God. So, first of all, his wife runs it.
Okay.
And she doesn't even do stand-up. And she's, like, she was teaching a bunch of comedians, like... It was a free class. So I was like, sure. But it was... But his wife was teaching it, and she's like... This is how you do stand-up. Presses play, and it's Jimmy Carr doing stand-up. And you're like...
Insane choice.
And then she's like, this is how you write jokes. She was like...
Excuse me, the cast is falling apart.
Pretty much like X, Y, Z, how you write a joke. And it's just like how Jimmy Carr came about this joke. And you're like, okay, well, clearly that's not the only way to write jokes. And then she, like, in the class, like, in the curriculum of his class... There's no writing on stage that doesn't exist in stand-up.
Well, it's dumb.
Bunk.
Yeah, that's the only way to do it.
And then so she says that that's not true. You have to write off stage. You have to write in the notebook, write every day, write lines in between your jokes. So I was just like, I don't know. It's got really aggravated. And then they would go, this is stand-up. And then they would play his joke, and it's like some... I mean, honestly, just a bad joke.
When this is happening, where are you?
He's corny.
Yeah, but where were you?
Oh, I want to watch a butler on stage tell one-liners. Get the fuck out of here.
This is the big difference between the American and the British mentality.
Sorry.
They do.
I don't like it.
They want to see the butler be a little bit silly.
Yeah, and that's a, and hey, that's why they f***ing lost. That's why they lost and we won.
It is genuine. All right, dig in. Because I was thinking about this a lot, that the American sense of humor is actually based around it being a martial
culture. Oh my God. Are you kidding me? Watch Great British Baking Show, where they have these two f***ing clowns on, and they're all like, well, they're making cakes. And it's like, these guys aren't funny. Nobody on that show is funny.
I've never seen anyone hate the British.
No one on that show
you
is
find
funny.
This it's personally great. Offensive.
They're like, oh, this is a comedian. Two comedians. They keep like cycling through comedians. Like, none of them are funny. None of them are funny. That's crazy. Y'all have 6, 7, 9 different comedians on there, and none of them are funny. I don't know.
Now, we'll cut out maybe some I'm of that crazy. That's going to get us in trouble, but that's definitely staying in.
Oh.
When did you know you hated British comedy? What? Why did you start watching The Great British Bake Off? Does your girlfriend make, like, does she love The Great British Bake Off? How did you even come across that show?
So many women love that show. But, yes, my girls watched it. I've seen it on TV multiple times, just you know, in passing or whatever. It's bad.
It's like you've been possessed.
I hate it.
All right.
Don't get me wrong. There's definitely some British comedians I think are funny. I'm not saying all of them.
Who? Give me one that maybe out of the bathwater. Give me one that you don't hate.
One that I don't hate?
One.
I think Bill Hicks did stand up here for a while.
Sickening. You don't like Stuart Lee? It's okay not to like Stuart Lee. Someone out there should not like Stuart Lee.
I don't know if I've... I actually don't know who Stuart Lee is now. Think about it.
It's weird. Okay, so Stuart Lee has made his whole career.
If I've seen him
making fun of those people, you don't like that man who skips at the Apollo in the UK, the Michael McIntyre. What about James Acaster, slouchy
actually
pouty
like
James?
I don't mind him. I don't mind James Acaster. Here's what I like about him.
All right,
you might not like him.
No, I have no strong feelings about James Acaster.
Output, a lot.
It's a lot of output.
A lot of output.
Yeah, he's got to work
effort. I respect that.
Yeah. They do. I mean, they do. All the British people seem to do an hour a year.
Deny
every year.
Output.
Yeah.
And I think Jimmy Carr has a good output. Fine. But whenever it's little bite snips of corny at a time, that's when I don't like it.
Well, I think it's because you guys have an empire and you're being serious. And there's actually like an intellectual current through American comedy. I don't want to like overstate it. And okay. Be like, these are philosopher kings. But there's like, if you're talking about something that's real to you and that you're really dealing with, Americans sort of treat that like it's valuable, like it's a tool to help you through life. And or like, as a result, the biggest comedians are often the weirdest, sort of twisted, strange people doing comedy. Like Louis was doing weird stuff. Bill Burr's doing weird stuff. Shane now is doing quite weird, like... Whereas in Britain, they have like two classes of comedy. They have like the alt scene, which is shit and boring overall, I just want to say. Uh-huh. And then like a very hacky, clever panel show, top level, corporate, moneyed thing. And here, that distinction does not exist. The most interesting people are usually the most successful. And the smartest people are usually the most successful. And that's not the case in Britain. Because I don't think white people, when they sit down after a long day at the Coal Factory Museum, I don't know what they do for jobs there in the UK at the moment.
Yeah,
but there's no hope of improving your life or taking over the world or running the world. It's like, we've got to pass the time while this falls apart.
I think...
That's what they're doing.
A lot of stand-up for Americans is like... at least for me, I like to watch a cathartic experience.
Sure.
Where I go, I feel this. This guy's making me laugh because I've felt this or I have thought this.
And it's real.
This works me up right now because it's like I connect with this and it moves me. It makes me like very.
You identify with the person doing.
It makes me laugh. Bro.
And so when British people are doing a silly walk.
Whenever Jimmy Carr's up there and does a joke about biscuits. I want to lose it. And it's, I'm not saying that I'm comedy God.
No.
I'm but better I would than him.
A
but
big,
different,
a big
like,
difference here is, so like Seinfeld, though I really like Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Because Seinfeld will do a little bit about biscuits
of
and something he's nice about biscuits.
Sure, I'm sure.
No, but the through line, the thing under it with Seinfeld is always, I might kill myself. I might kill somebody. Like you feel a weird anger and despair.
Yes, annoyance.
As he's talking about Chris, you know, chip packets.
Yes.
And the way they open or whatever. Yeah. He's really talking about the existential condition. And you don't get that with observational comedy.
And that's at a cathartic thing where you're
it's deep.
You're
it's
watching
strange.
And you're going, I know how that feels. That fucking thing. You're right. That fucking thing pisses me off. And now that's making me laugh because I agree with his annoyance. But Jimmy Carr, it's an emotionless. He might as well be holding a dinner napkin all around his wrist while he does it. It just bothers me, bro. I watched so much of his videos because of that class. I just couldn't believe that they were using some of the examples is like from his jokes.
Oh, man. Everybody, I did a creative writing class in university and during the poetry class when the poet was like, here are my poems. This is good poetry. I wanted to reach out and strangle them in the middle of the room. It was really something. It's evil. And also, people probably should go to comedy classes. This is my new thing. This is a new bend that I'm on.
Oh, wait, hang on. This is another reason why I don't like Jimmy Carr.
Hit me. All right.
It's because
that's the title of the episode, by the way, is another reason why I don't like Jimmy Carr.
Because his whole thing is like, I'm classy. He's classy.
Yeah.
His perspective is, I'm a classy guy and you're trash.
Yes.
People from Liverpool are trash. This is trash.
Yeah.
You're trash. You're a drunk. He's a drunk. It's like, why is this funny? You're just better than everyone else?
Oh.
Is that the big laugh?
Classic egalitarian American CJ.
Is that the funny part?
We
is that
love
you're
it.
Better than everyone? Look,
yeah. See, punching down is good because you get more force.
No.
If you punch up, that's only the weight of the arm. If you punch down, you can get the full weight of the torso moving through this block.
That's fine, punch down, but the behind it, yeah. Like Sam Kinison punched down great. He was joking about starving kids in Africa.
But he's down there in the muck.
But he's down in the muck.
Yeah.
He's not up there going, I'm part of the empire, trash people. That sucks, dude. You're not funny. Sorry.
It is, oh man. Why do the British love that? Because they do.
I don't know. Because they think they're on top still.
This is funny. So no, they don't. I think they know it's over.
Come on, dude.
So the biggest,
they love the Queen, bro.
The biggest Australian.
You can't even joke about the Queen. Why?
Mm-hmm. She's a beautiful, sweet woman. She's great.
No, it's because
don't
they
you
respect
joke about the, queen.
The
don't
fact
you
that
joke
they
about
were
the
on
queen.
Top.
Don't you joke about the Queen. Don't you come on here and joke about the Queen. The biggest Australian comedian export globally, to the UK, I would say, was Barry Humphries, who was would put her dress on. This was in the 70s where it wasn't, you know, it wasn't political. It was still just funny for a man to wear a dress. I think we can all agree that that's pretty funny when a fellow puts a dress on. And he'd be like a housewife.
Okay.
So the character, it's Dame Edna. And it starts off being a housewife. And it's like being a judgmental housewife, whatever. And then it like got to the, you know, there was this whole thing about like Dame Edna gets, well, Edna Everage gets knighted and becomes Dame Edna and starts calling herself a gigastar and like really sledging the audience, doing shows with people on and like talking them down. And being like, oh, that's good of you for trying. You know, and it's all like nasty, down, I'm better than you stuff. But the underlying thing is it's an old fat man in a dress pretending to be a woman who everybody hates who's being nasty to people.
Right.
Right? So there's a level of irony there. Whereas
that's what
like,
I'm saying.
This is like when Jiminy Glick is
right.
saying how great Jiminy Glick is. And it's like, well, it's Martin Short in an enormous fat suit. We're laughing at a fat guy.
Right.
But I'll grant you, Jimmy Carr, I can see how that would great because he really, he's not doing an impression of a classy guy punching down. I think he is a rich dude.
Yeah.
From money.
That's what I'm saying. It's
yeah.
just like, what is funny about this? And there's no self-deprecating factor in any of us. It's just very like I'm rich and I'm classy, and people from and you know and these people are trash.
I've never seen something.
These people are trash.
Trash. Just cool. meant something. Garbage.
Funny man.
Refuse.
No, I'm slapping my knee.
Well, Jimmy Carr, we'd love to have you on for a right of reply and to defend. You can come into the garage. We'll have some cushions on the couch by that point.
And look, again, I'm sure the guy can write corny jokes, circles around me, writing corny jokes. I'm sure he could write circles around me. But I don't, I watched so many of his jokes. I watched all of them with a straight face. Just like, what was that? I was like looking at the
camera. How long did the class go for?
And she like pressed pause and she goes, "Now that's a perfect joke." You're like, "Okay, I'm sitting here with my arms."
This has made you more upset than anything I've ever seen.
You're upset by this.
No, you're upset by this. I've never seen you get so worked up.
I do get worked up.
This is great.
I've told you I'm very confrontational.
I've never seen you confront someone the way that you seem to want to get into a fisticuffs with Jimmy Carr.
I'm a very friendly guy.
How far in the comedy? I want to find out about this comedy class. I got to know. How long did you go for?
Here's the thing.
All right, tell me.
I'm just saying, whenever I'm trying to make a point,
yeah,
I know that there's a bunch of people on the other side going, okay. So in my head, I'm going, well, let me prove you why I'm saying this.
Yeah.
So anyway, I took the class for like, I went to class like three times. Because by the second time, I'm like, I'll do it. I'm going to go one more.
Yeah.
Because I've had enough of it. And then I went the last time, and that's whenever she said that there's no riding on stage. And I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Can't do that. This is stupid. And she showed not.
This is a multi-day course, though.
Oh, yeah. It was like weeks. 2 weeks.
It's nuts.
They did it at Mothership.
This is recently at Mothership.
Yeah. Yeah. He was on Rogan and was like, oh, I'm going to do my comedy class at the Mothership and teach all the door guards comedy. And then we watch it and you're like, this is trash, bud.
Was he there?
No.
Did he turn up at the class?
No. He did. But
he sent his lady.
He baited it. Oh, his little carrot was that he was going to be at the end of the class and then he never came. And it was just his wife teaching the course who's never done stand up in her life. I mean, just the biggest scam artist ever.
We can definitely get Jimmy Carr on the podcast.
Do it, man.
All right.
I'm sure he'll have 50 corny-ass jokes for you, too.
He'll probably tell you to wear a suit. You're trash. Trash? You think you could speak to me?
It would be so awesome for Jimmy Carr to be sitting on this couch right now.
He wouldn't dare.
No, he wouldn't.
He'd bring his own seat.
Oh, my God.
That's exciting. We haven't had any beef on this podcast yet. If you had picked someone more remote,
so much beef.
We never would have heard about it. Jimmy Carr is genuinely, if I was to say, pick the top person who might actually respond to this podcast, like still in the realm. Like if you went off about Jay-Z, we're never going to hear back about Jay-Z. You can say whatever you like about Jay-Z. He's never coming on the show. You go, Obama? I'm not just picking rich black guys. I pick a white guy.
come on, dude.
No, do you know what I mean? Like the King of England.
Right.
He's never going to respond. Jimmy Carr, 50-50.
Yeah, he's in the neighborhood. He could. I hope he does.
Well, we got to do another plug now at the end.
Yeah.
Now that you've come here on one of those, presumably people are watching this now, not on the actual podcast, but the vast numbers will be those like Comedy World guys who cut up the clips and are like,
oh, I would.
CJ Landry takes aim at Jimmy Carr. Blah, blah, blah.
I would tell him it's a shame I can't get my time back from those classes. It's a shame.
This is great.
I could have had lunch with Brian Simpson and would have learned six times.
You could have gone
more.
For a walk. You could have sat with your dick in your hand in a hotel room.
I mean, I could have just done anything else and would have had a more, learning experience as far as doing stand-up. I mean, it was just... Yeah, what was crazy was that she also showed us videos of, like, Louis on stage doing a bit. And then she literally said right after that, oh, there's no such thing as writing on stage. That's, like, against this class.
That's all he does, right?
Yeah, like, that's all. You don't even know what Louis does then. All of us in the class told her that. We're like, that's what Louis
does.
What,
there was a route? There was a route in the class?
Oh, bro, everyone in the class knew what it was. That's the thing. That's why it's like, what I'm saying is not even really that crazy. Everybody in the class agreed, was like, this lady's dumb. Jimmy Carr's jokes are bad. And why are we watching Louis and you telling us that we can't write on stage?
He had one about a junction that I really like. It's the only Jimmy Carr joke I remember.
Okay, what is it? Say it.
He goes, I was talking to my girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
Who's probably running this class now in the it's an old joke. I was talking to my girlfriend and she said, we're at crossroads. Down one path lies difficulty, but commitment and ultimately heavy relationship. And down the other path, we let each other go and have a shallower but easier life. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, that's not a crossroads, that's a junction.
You see what I mean, though? If you're listening to that...
Because he's classy.
Okay.
That's a man who thought about it and wrote
Word
that down.
Wordplay. It's good stuff. That's...
Get those shirts on jdfmccann.com. I think this episode's run long. What a powerful second act for the podcast. None of that's getting cut. jdfmccann.com. Out now. Get the shirt. CJ Landry, Killing Time with CJ Landry. Is
that's
that what it's
right.
called?
That's it. And then Don't Tell is coming out. Keep an eye out for that. Jimmy Carr, your shit's on sight, bitch.
And what now you do activities with people on your podcast.
That's right. I do bowling, I do chess.
What activity will you be doing with Jimmy Carr?
Throwing
you
gotta
have Jimmy Carr on.
Oh, we'll do a writing jokes class. All right, sit there and teach him how to write. No, I would. You know what, dude? I would love to do a debate about writing his class.
Yeah.
Talk about, okay, you can't write on stage. Let's talk about that. Where's the proof that you can't write on stage?
Yeah.
Let's see. Bill Burr. Seems like that guy's
working
successful.
Some stuff out.
Writing on just writes on stage.
I don't. Seems I like can't he's doing imagine all right. George Carlin was burning the midnight oil. Getting all the words in the right order.
Oh, he definitely
Wait,
was.
No, George Carlin.
George Carlin was a nerd.
Sorry,
he definitely
no, George Carlin. I didn't mean to say George
Richard
Carlin.
Richard Pryor?
Richard
Pryor was just writing the N-word five times on a notebook? Are you out of your mind?
I did mean to say Richard Pryor.
I mean, it just makes no George sense. Carlin the whole thing was a dumb class. I mean, it's...
Well, this is... I mean, there's...
They were taking it on the road. They were going to go to every country... In the UK, Skrilla. Apparently,
yeah.
And do this class.
Yeah, you got to make that money.
Oh.
Is there a reticence? What's the word? Do people hate comedy classes in America?
People, you know, it depends on, if you're asking a brand new open micer, they love it.
Yeah. But like all the comedians go, the only way to do it is to do it. Don't do a class.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's the only way to do it.
I'm going to run one in Australia, I decided. I'm not going to charge for it. But I was thinking about last night.
I think
but
that's
not,
smart.
I don't want to talk about the comedy at all. What I heard was Ari Shafir ran one that was great at the Comics Lounge, and all he's doing is talking about the business. He's like, this is what a manager does. This is what an agent does. This is how you get a manager. This is when you don't need a manager. This is what you can ask an agent to do. This is a good deal and a bad deal. This is the rooms that you should be talking to. And it's just like all the stuff that actually helped. Nothing to do with the act and developing the act, but it's like... How to move in the industry?
Yeah,
that would be nice to hear.
Yeah,
that's an investment to that's get right. someone to tell you that. But writing jokes, I mean, if you could teach it, those classes would be worth something.
Oh yeah,
no one can do it.
Jimmy Carr's got to figure it out. Junction.
I did notice a lot of the door guys starting to wear 3-piece suits. I wondered what that was about. Someone must like. Was it the whole? Did the whole class turn?
Everyone,
did people stop going?
It was dropping like flies from the first day to the like third class. I mean, it was half. Everyone was like, "This is bullshit."
Who stayed to the? I don't throw anyone else under the bus. But I'm gonna find out more about this. Catamaran ho, everybody!
Thank y'all for listening and check out the Don't Tell, huh? Please share with your friends, family.
He's figured it all out on stage. It's all shit.
That's right. I wrote the
never
whole set
wrote
in
one
notebook
joke.
Over and over and over and over again, just like Jimmy Carr said.
I love that Richard Pryor just going like, hold on. cops don't shoot cars. Now, what could rhyme with that? I don't do a good Richard Pryor.